الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: كافها يا عين صاد، ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا. صدق الله العظيم. These are the opening verses of Surah Maryam. And within the three rukus, the first three rukus of the Surah, Allah Ta'ala discusses approximately 10 Anbiya alayhi wasalam. And with respect to the Anbiya, Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. They are blessed with guidance, so follow them. So Allah Ta'ala has endorsed them, and there is no possibility of anybody getting lost if he follows the Anbiya alayhi salam. He starts off with Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, and then he goes on to explain the adab of dua. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. We are approaching Ramadan. Was the date first? Should be announced. And the right thing is to prepare for the occasion. It's coming up, prepare. If we are in a state of readiness and preparedness, inshallah, we will gain. Now, what are the things that we need to sort out? So the blockages between us and Allah Ta'ala, all that to be cleared out. That's the primary thing. Anything that is blocking the passage between us and Allah Ta'ala, that needs to be cleared out. With regards to dua, and it is mukhul ibadah, the essence of ibadat. Why is it the essence of ibadat? They say, Sana'ul Karimi Dua. When you're praising someone great, so you're praising him for what? Basically for two reasons. One is acknowledgement for the favors, and one is for the continuity of his favors that you ask. That's what you are doing. You want the favors to continue, and you want to acknowledge that you really appreciate and you acknowledge his favors. So, when we look at all our ibadat, then this is the reason for the ibadat, to acknowledge the favor of Allah Ta'ala. He's blessed us with Islam, He's blessed us with deen, blessed us with executing our obligation, namaz, roza, etc. So, isn't this a blessing? There are millions of people, billions of people, but they haven't been favored. So, it is purely the favor of Allah Ta'ala that He's blessed us in this manner. But now there is a way, there is a procedure, how you speak to Allah Ta'ala. So, it is not just any person that we are speaking to, we are speaking to Allah Ta'ala. So if we want Him to favor us, then how do we speak to Him? It's also a procedure. And really, deen is all about procedures, adab. Abu Sa'id Khudri Diran says, Ad-deenu kulluha adab. Deen, the whole deen is about adab, etiquette. Now, to understand this, take a scenario, right? The child calls his father by name, Ismail. It's wrong, yeah? He's not speaking a lie, he's speaking a lie. But is that the way? Will the father feel upset about it, or will he be comfortable with this? Now, it's just a small thing. And the next person called him by his name, it was all right. But this child called him by the name, now, there's an adab, there's an etiquette. What we think, no, I'm speaking the fact, so what's wrong? So it's not so easy, it's not so simple. The fact doesn't have to be expressed in raw language, in a dignified language. You can introduce your mother, that this is my mother's boyfriend. Speaking about your father, it's my mother's boyfriend. Will you be speaking a lie? Or introduce your mother, this is my father's girlfriend. Will you be speaking a lie? So people don't understand the gravity of these things, yes, adab. And everything has got an adab. Coming to the masjid, just for the adab, made miswak, the reward is multiplied 70-fold. Made wuzu at home, proceeded to the masjid, every step, a guna is getting forgiven, and you're reaping a sawab, right? Just for the adab. Nothing else but the adab. Minus the adab, sometimes, the salat may be valid, but no reward. Or the adab is that you do your toilet, etc., complete, make wuzu, and then come for namaz. Now, you are pressed to go toilet. You didn't do the toilet and rushed into namaz. There's no namaz. It's no sawab. The reason is obvious. The reason is that you are physically in namaz. Mentally, where are you? Where's your mind? Your mind is the toilet. And you're swearing the imam. I don't know why he's smiling. He's pulling so long. You know, you must understand what's happening to me. But on the contrary, if you relieved yourself and came to the masjid, now you're saying, why did the imam read such a short surah? Are you enjoying the whole surah? But minus the adab, that whole, the essence of that ibadat is lost. So you relieve yourself, come in a dignified manner, come to the masjid. And sometimes minus the adab, your deeds can all get cancelled. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. When you're speaking to Rasul-e-Pak, don't shout. Speak to him in soft tones. Otherwise, all your deeds will get cancelled. And you may not even realize that this has happened. But you see adab, the importance of adab, and what role it has in Islam. had come to Rasul-e-Pak, perhaps Abdul Qais, and the more prominent person, he washed up nicely, put on good clothing, went to the masjid, did 2 rakats namaz, and then met up with Rasul-e-Pak. The rest of the jamaat, that whole delegation, they jumped off their camels and they went straight. But Rasul-e-Pak praised this person here that came with adab. Inna fika la khaslatayn yuhibbuhumullah. Two things Allah Pak loves in you. That you are gentle, calm, and this thoughtfulness. See how gentle, calm, and thoughtful you are. Allah Pak loves this. But of the whole jamaat, he praised this person. Just that adab. Now, we may say, now, adab, what's so grand, what's so great about it? So, not understanding deen in the right context, then this is what it leads you to, that you may just deprive yourself of reward. Sometimes cancellation of deeds. So this is now the adab. Ramadan is a month that you can acquire, you must acquire. And then to acquire, learn the procedure that how do you speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to confirm the order. You got an order with a request, an application, but you want to confirm it. How do you go about confirming it? One is we all speak about halal, etc. That's the main ingredient, obviously. But after that,
When we're petitioning Allah Ta'ala, then how do we petition Him? Tadarru'a wa khufya. Humility and softly. You don't shout, you're not ordering Allah Ta'ala. You are begging of Him. Then, ud'uhu khawfa wa tama'a. And you're calling on Him with fear and hope. You're not overconfident of yourself. You know, Allah, you have to just fulfill my petition. You just see me right. It's not an order. You are begging Allah Ta'ala. And when you are begging Allah Ta'ala, remain a beggar. Humble, khawfa wa tama'a. Zakariya alayhi salam, when he's talking to Allah Ta'ala, then softly. Then, when you are addressing Allah Ta'ala, Rabbi inni wahana al-azm. Then, he starts off talking about his inability, his weakness and limitations. Bones have become infirm, white is glistening white, the hair is glistening white and grey. But, one is, you are showing your inability and limitation. But with that, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدْوَآئِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. You're not losing hope of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, whenever I petition you, you always seen me favorably. You never turn me down. So you are supposed to be showing your weakness. إِنِّي ضَعِيف فَقَوِّنِي وَإِنِّي ذَلِيل فَعِزَّنِي. You need to be showing your weakness, inability and limitation. Right? But with that, you need to be hopeful of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدْوَآئِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. Whenever I petitioned you, Allah Ta'ala, you always saw me favorably. Now, these are some of the adab of dua. فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأَسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا. When you are confronted with the problem, then why don't you get onto your knees and cry to Allah Ta'ala? Girgirate kyun nahi? Why don't you cry to Allah Ta'ala? Instead of doing your own thing, blaming this one here, that person, and the third person. But he's showing you an easy procedure. Cry. Beg. Be humble. Come to me. فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا. Why are they doing this? Why aren't they crying? Why are they asking Allah Ta'ala? It's just a matter of you crying, getting onto your knees, begging of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala loves this so much. Now, the second thing is this. What was the occasion that prompted Zakariya alayhi salam to make this dua? So he's made some dua now. So he says, إِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. So you see my limitations, O Allah Ta'ala. Wife is barren. I'm advanced old age. But I'm thinking of a succession plan. You see, as far as material is concerned, the physical world, we all understand the importance of a succession plan, right? We attach a lot of importance to health, right? For the preservation of health, we have doctors, physicians, hospitals, medical schools. And everybody will endorse that there is a need for this. Now say for example, just hypothetical, right? You close up all the medical school, right? For one generation, what happens? Won't there be a collapse of human health? Won't it collapse? It will collapse, result in deaths, acute problems, serious problems. So they understand that this is a basic human need. And when it's a basic human need, we need to have a succession plan. This is running well now. What about the coming generation? What structures have you got for them? So if this is a need, then I ask you, is deen a need or not? If deen is a need, then is there a need to have a succession plan in place? Jesus. وَكَانَتِ مْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. This is the dua that is يَرِسُنِي وَيَرِسُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ. That I need, Allah Ta'ala, a successor. And he must be my heir and the family of Yaqub alayhi salam. And Allah Ta'ala, he must be well pleased with you. So, he's giving the description of the person as well. But he's talking about a succession plan that I can't see anybody taking this on. خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ. I'm afraid of my is they can't take this thing on. I know that from the way I see them, I don't think they will manage this. So I need someone to take this on. إِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتْ إِمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا. So the succession plan. But in the succession plan, we need to keep a couple of things in mind. So, in order for the deen to be preserved, Muslim preservation, we need about four or five type of structures. And then you see that we have passed on the deen to the next generation in a nice way, in a respectable manner. When I think of this, I think of my childhood when we used to participate in the relay. You know, the relay. There's about two things that are distinct in the relay race. One is you have to complete that 100 meter each. There's three or four participants belonging to the same team. And in good time, they must pass on the baton to the next. Right? They must do it very swiftly and pass on the baton to the next. Right? Then we'll say, alright, we all cooperated. Alhamdulillah, we won. So exactly the same, right? You have got the baton of responsibility of deen. You need to see you playing your, you know, your share of the game, you're doing it well. And you're passing on the baton of responsibility to the next person in a good time, in a good way. So these are the two basic things that are required. Now, for Islam to be spread, then there's about four structures that are required. And then you see the next generation has got it well. Minus these structures, just in one generation, everything can be lost. Okay. Just one generation. I'm not talking of something hypothetical, I'm talking of something real. I'm not mentioning the countries. But I ask people, wherever, and ask them, what's the condition here, what's here, how many million Muslims are living here. So they tell you the numbers more or less, approximately, so many Arabs went to this country and all, right? From those Arabs that went, then there are how many Muslims? It's about 40, 50 million in that one area. Right? And how many are Muslims now today? It's at about 5 million. From 40, 50 million, now 5 million are Muslims. How many years? About 50 years. Just within the range of 50 years, 40 million, now they're 5 million. From the 5 million, how many are practicing? About 1.5 million. When you talk of how many performing their namaz regularly, about 1 million, 1.5 million. But you see, no structures. They just went. The minds got blocked with temptation, right? Whatever temptation they went across, and not concerned about sustaining their deen. When they're not concerned about sustaining the deen, just took 30 years or 40 years, things wiped out. Now you're getting into a home where the father is Ismail, the son is Jack, and the daughter is Jill. Got crosses there. But you see, just one generation it took, and there's no succession plan, no deeni structure, and what happens? So now, to see that we pass on the baton of responsibility correctly, there's about five things that are required. One is the preservation of deen, acquire the deen, right? But the preservation is only right if it's applied right. If you only acquired it, and we didn't apply it, so the job is not complete. You only learned driving, but you didn't go behind the wheel. Is the job complete? You learned swimming, but you didn't go for swimming classes. Physically, you haven't attended the classes. Have you learned it? So until you don't apply it, it's not complete. It's my routine that I look into the malfuzat of our elders, this statement, right? Because they, puri zindagi ka nishor hota hai. It's like the summary of the entire life. So I just open the kitab, Muhammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah's malfuz, everybody refers to his kitab. Great mashayikh, and ordinary people also, everybody refers. So he says, mutaqaddimeen mein, this qadar ihtimam tha, tarbiyat ka, is qadar ta'aleem ka ahmiyat nahi tha. In the people of former times, although ilm is also farz, and tarbiyat, and getting the person, applying the ilm is also farz. Both are farz, don't get it wrong. This is farz. But the importance they attached to the implementation, to the application, to seeing that thing is being practiced, was greater than just acquiring the ilm. Now, to understand this, right, just quote an example. to understand this. Because they are only understood if there are illustrations before us. Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he had one murid. Jahil, doesn't know much of deen, but he kept that association. Very wealthy person. So he got a contract to put up a masjid in a poor area, like how you get this informal settlements, very poor, dilapidated. But he got a contract, accepted the contract, cordoned off, like when you're doing the building, you cordoned off. And he asked those that had offered that zameen, that land, is it now declared a masjid? It's declared. The niyat is made. Now, from that moment that they declared it the masjid, he says, no, now I am going to call out the azan and I will do the namaz in this place here. If there is a learned person, he will do the namaz. Otherwise, if there is nobody, I will do it. But now it's declared a masjid. Now see the understanding, this, the association and the understanding. When it's declared a masjid, then why should we deprive ourselves from the blessings of the masjid? It's declared. Is there a need now for someone to come, cut the ribbon, give a grand talk, give a biryani meal, all that, and then we start off? For that duration now, should we deprive ourselves from the blessing of the masjid? Is there any logic in that? That's a different thing, alright. After the completion, you have a dawah, it's a different thing. Nobody will object to that. But that doesn't mean that because of the biryani, we delay the whole process of the namaz. Start it off, then the completion, you're going to do something as a token of happiness. Nobody will stop you. So now look, the understanding. Just that association and what it does, a dramatic change. Now, this contractor is quite wealthy, well-to-do. So there's a built-up area nearby, about a kilometer away. And he's got some acquaintances, friends and all that. They're insisting that he must come here. This is like a very informal, John Doe will say, you know, our language. You come and live here. All the comforts, everything you've got here. He said, no, I'll live here. I'll stay on the side. Now again, you see, that first one also, he's applying the sunnah. You know, the application. The second one, how is he applying the sunnah? Rasulullah s.a.w. dua is, Allahumma ahyini miskino, wa amitni miskino, wa hshurni fi zumratil masakin. Let me live like a poor person, die like a poor person, and let me be raised with this poor people, because they'll get into Jannah 500 years before the wealthy. But you see now, he doesn't have the ilm, but that association, what a dramatic change it had on this person's life. Second thing, right? Then the third thing in his life, I'm just showing you that tarbiyat, the guidance, you know, applying it, understanding it, sitting with these people, associating with them, what it does to you, the need for it, and what it does. Now the third thing was, this man, he had a style that he read one namaz. He read Maghrib namaz, for example. So he'll go to his apartment and he will alarm the clock, he'll set the clock for the next namaz. So he's read Maghrib namaz and he's setting the clock for the next namaz, Isha namaz. Now you're talking of this person here about 40 years ago, when you didn't have all these digital things and all that, right? So he had to go and physically do the whole thing. So now he is going after the Maghrib namaz, going home and setting it for the Isha namaz. Now again he's applying the sunnah. وَانْتِزَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ. He's waiting for the next namaz to come. So in anticipation, he is keying the clock for that time. But you see now, what gave this person this type of understanding? Living there, calling the azan, performing the namaz, preferring to live amongst the poor, and then waiting for the next namaz. What brought in that understanding? Now don't get me wrong, someone may think, no, there's no need to learn, formally learn. No, that's a faraz. So someone thinks like that he's a jahil. To acquire it is also faraz, but it's even more important to go and apply that. You learned about, for example, humility, right? Now, one is the concept. Now go and apply the thing. Otherwise, that thing will just remain in the books. Nobody's applying it. In the books, well, our Akabir did it, finished class. So it just remains the book and it dies with time.
Now, we're talking of the dini structures, coming back to the topic, dini structures, and what type of structures are required to sustain the deen. So to sustain it, one is we'll have to have the knowledge. Like in a medical school, won't you need a medical school? Won't you have that books, etc., available? So you have to have that information. Someone is going to acquire that. So that's the first thing that's required, the ta'lim, educating, learning and teaching. Then the second thing that will be required, right, is bayans and da'wat. You know, you're giving a bayan, that's a da'wat. Da'wat is one form. One form is you're going to people and calling them to the house of Allah Ta'ala. It's also a da'wat. This is also da'wat. That is also da'wat. You're inviting them to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, whether it's through a bayan or whether going door to door and calling them to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But it's a da'wat. Isn't that a da'wat? So the second thing that is required to sustain this thing here is da'wat. Minus the da'wat, again, the thing collapses. You know, I'm talking of 1960s, and I see in the time, right? Minus the da'wat, I see you in school, so girls from good families, high school, all wearing shorts, short sleeves, no scarves. Then this Tabligh Jamaat came in, right? They came in, da'wah, they started. So the change came in. Now they're concerned about their daughters, got the ijars, got the long sleeves, and got the scarves, etc. Now what to do with these girls? Right? They're concerned now, alright? You got them to wear the clothing, but they're going into a non-Muslim environment, and they can't get affected. So we pull them out of school, but then how to occupy them? What to do? See. So there was a concern, right? The right thing is they remain at home. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught this lesson to Fatima, that you, the queen of the woman of Jannah, you my beloved, Badatum Minni, piece of my flesh you are, but you will remain in the house. Sunnah Ahmad, hadith is there. You will remain in the house, you will see to all the domestic duties at home. The queen, you're not going to go in the streets, you're not going to practice medicine, you're not going to sustain the house, you're not going to go to a college, you're not going to go to a university, you will look after the house. Right? And I don't feel ashamed when I see you sweeping the house, when you are pulling out the water and creating marks on your shoulder. I don't feel ashamed about this. You're the queen of Jannah, you're going to do all this. That's an honor, that's a respect. So there can't be anything greater than what Rasulullah had given to his own daughter. Can't be. There can't be any division, any separation that is greater than what Rasulullah passed on to his respected daughter. And O Ali, you're going to do all the things that are external, outside the house, buying, working, etc. That's your duty. Domestic duties, he says, Fatima, outside the house is your duty. You will do this and she will do this. So there can't be an apportioning and a division as great as this, as noble as this, greater than this. And mind you, in all times there was medical needs, there was financial needs, all type of needs. These needs are not only of this day, the needs were from then, all times. But with all that, Nabi Sam says, you're going to be in the house. And Ali is going to do everything that's connected to outside the house. You will do this and she will do this. So, I was explaining in the 60s what happened and then the Jamaat came in, right? Now, they start taking out the girls. Now they're concerned now what to do with the girls. So around, if I remember correctly, around 79 somewhere, 78, 79, Al-Mu'al Ibn Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, started off the girls' madrasa. Because it's a transition. The right thing is to push them in the homes, right? But now they don't have the courage and the morale to take a high jump, one shot, from school and the streets and the offices right into the home. Now we need a transition. Either put them in Mastura Jamaat or into a madrasa, get some consciousness and awareness of deen. The mothers also find it easy. Now from here, you're putting the back home. So to create a consciousness and awareness, where do you belong to? So
It was a great service that Mona had rendered, and he occupied, what these girls occupied. All right, now your girls are going to be dressing up like this. This is going to be your role. This is going to be your duty. This is how you're going to do that. Alhamdulillah, you see, a lot of ulama's wives attended that madrasa. They had the tarbiyat, they had the training, etc. And you can see the good that comes out after that. So the second thing that is required for the succession plan is da'wat. And nobody can say that you can do without it. You can't do that. You have to. Whichever way, provided it's within permissible parameters, you're going to do it. You're going to do amar bil ma'ruf, nahi al munkar. You will enjoin the good. You will forbid the wrong. But that also has got some adab and some procedure. Right? We can't just take a module from someone and apply it. Right? When I say a module, it may be that some buzurg, some great person, practice on amal bil ma'ruf and nahi al munkar in a certain way. Right? At his level, it was accepted and it was taken well. But now, do you have the right also to imitate that? One person comes from the Mu'tami Sahib rahmatullahi, just to explain this. He says, میں وہاں دودھ کو خریدنے کے لیے جاتا ہوں مجھے کوئی ضرورت نہیں ہوتی ہے لیکن وہاں پر بہت ہی خوبصورت لڑکی ہے جی ترستا ہے اس کے دیکھنے کو. I go with the pretext of buying milk. I go to the shop there. I don't need to buy, but you know there's a girl there. I can't just resist. ہرگز نہیں جانا چاہے جی بہت ترستا ہے. I can't hold myself. I can't hold the temptation. وہاں گئے, one tight shot گئے, جا یہاں سے, حبیش نہیں کہا. Anyway, what says that, you know, I did this impulse, you know. But after that I started regretting, hey, I don't know this person for a bar of soap, why did I act like this? Anyway, Hazrat's one murid met up with that person after 7 months, nice beard and turkey. You recognize him? He said, no, I don't recognize. I thought that person would have caught that shot. But when Mu'ah gave me that one shot, that whole temptation flushed out of the system. So it worked for him, but you aren't Mu'ah Thami Rahmatullah, you don't do that. It was for him to do it. He did it, it worked out. It worked out well for him, it was positive. That doesn't mean that you're going to apply the same thing. He's a man, a buzurg, a mujaddid, right? And then he's like, you know, you say, he's as though the hand of Allah Ta'ala. As though with the hand of Allah Ta'ala. Yabtishubi. He's built himself such that as though his work is the work of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He's at that level. So you're not at that level, you don't imitate. As Mu'tah Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned this incident, the second incident I'm going to relate now. In his kitab, I think about 5-10 times, same incident. Hazrat Mawla Rahim Ilahi, I think he was a murid or the khalif of Hazrat Mawla Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi. Very great buzurg. These great buzurgan adeen, and they will have some oppositions, always. Ja'alna li kulli nabiyin aduwan. The greater you are, the greater opposition you have. And then, nowadays they'll viral you and they do a lot of things. Iski taraf dhyan nahi de, apna kaam karo bhai. Aapka koi kaam bigadta nahi, to iski taraf dhyan kyun, kya dhyan kyun de? Taluq to Allah Taala ke saath hai. Karne do jo kuch karna hai. Whatever they want to do, let them do. But you think about your relationship with Allah, don't spoil that. They made this تَجْعَلُونَ رِزْكَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. They made that the livelihood, let them carry on. But you don't lose track. What's your need, you just do that. I don't say spoil your izzat and reputation. But if someone made this his business, let him carry on. You don't get distracted. So, we're talking of this Mawla Rahim Ilahi Sahib Rahmatullahi. And every buzurg, you see, he had some opposition. Now just to spite him, the townspeople, what they did, they had one big kawali, next to the masjid, en route to his, you know, he has to pass that and come to the masjid, right on his way. So he can't avoid it, he has to come past that in order to come to the masjid. But now they had to do this to spite him. They got in for him and they got their daggers out against him. How to do it, how to vent their feelings. I was explaining this. I'll come back to the story. There's
numerous, I think for the last 2 weeks, everybody's asking the same question, what to do now? What to do now? What to do now? It's like, you know, in a panic, what to do? So I gave the answer once. And the first person asked, I gave the answer.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa aminu bi rasuli yu'tikum kiflayni min rahmati wa yaj'al lakum nuran.
Fear Allah Ta'ala, He will double your reward and grant you a light. Right. When are you not able to see? When you don't have a light in the eye, or there is no light around that disrupts the visibility completely, right? There's no light around. Can you see? Can't see. But if there's light here and there's light around, then you can see. It creates the visibility.
So Allah Ta'ala says, if you adopt taqwa, He'll grant you that light. Said, you won't be in the dark.
When you're in the dark, you can't make out a diamond from a stone. Can you make out? You know what's going on. Because you're in the dark totally. But if there's light, you can make out. This is a diamond, this is a ruby, this is gold, you can make it out. Total darkness, you don't know what you're touching. So He'll bless you with a nur. Alright, it happened.
So nowadays I just change my routine slightly. After I finish the morning session, most of the work is finished then. So after an hour or so, I'll have breakfast and I'll come back. Before I used to go to the office and perform 2 rakat namaz, chash, duha namaz, and then start of the work. So I thought to myself for some time now, that you know, this umrah and all is a little bit difficult nowadays. But there is a hadith which says, you do your wuzu at home, come to the masjid and perform 2 rakat namaz, you get in the umrah salah. So that was alright, better, right? But if you can't do this, we can at least compensate in this way. Why must we lose out completely? Is there any, is it making sense that we lose out completely? Just keep swearing this person and he's doing this. But you're not going to get anything out of it. But you can somehow recover, right? You can't get the original. But you can get this. The promise is that you come, make wuzu, come to the home, to the masjid. Now, alhamdulillah, the masjid is en route to the office. So you have to pass the masjid. It's 2 rakat namaz, you got the thawab, you're going. So as I just completed the 2 rakat namaz, the thought came straight to me. Alright, what should be done? And there's so much of confusion and whatever. So the thought just strike, just at then, at that time. So just to understand this, there's two things that block the vision. And there's two things that blocks your vision. The one is temper, right? Call it temper, call it short fuse, ticked off, whatever, right? Anger. So that's one. So that anger, then it creates a whole host of problems. Then you get malice, jealousy, but it's stemming from what? From anger. Comes out, the jealousy comes out, maliciousness comes out, like, Shaitan now, he refused, right? So it was anger. Why he? I'll fix him up. In akhartani ila yawmil qiyamah, la'ahtadikanna zurriyatahu. I'll mislead all of them. But that anger had to vent itself. So the one thing that blocks the vision is your anger. So you think about it, when you, in the state of anger, can you think and reason properly, correctly? Have you got the full composure? So that's the first thing that blocks the vision entirely. Jams it up. You can't see. You can't reason. Anger, right? The second thing that blocks the vision, one is actually temper, call it temper, ticked off, anger, short fuse. So, istilahat hai aajkal ke. The second thing that blocks the vision, understanding, is temptation. Right? You ask any person that when they did something wrong, right, indecent behavior. So, what happened? Didn't you know it was haram? Said, yeah, I know. But at that time, it just went blank, you know. I just went blank. I did it. Then I regret, what I did? Why I had to do such a shameful thing? But for that moment, my mind just went off. Seeing those things there, but I know it's wrong, haram. But, you know, I was overwhelmed at that time. My mind wasn't functioning. And I haven't even seen all these things here. So, temptations can be of two types, right? One is woman, sensual pleasure. The second type of temptation is wealth. So now the person that is going to interest, robbing, cheating, or not winding the estate correctly, etc., etc., the time that he's doing, isn't he overwhelmed by temptation? He's also overwhelmed. His mind's not functioning. So temptation blocks off your understanding. Just then I had to open up my room, Rahmatullah's kitab. So I saw it, alhamdulillah. At the same time, all these things happening. So he says, when the judge has to accept the bribery, right? The judge has to accept the bribery. Now, his reasoning has been lost. I ask him, can he reason correctly? Can he judge rightly? He's settled for the bribery, right? He's talking of that someone 800 years ago. But when the judge settled for that bribery, then is his reasoning going to be right now? The proceeding is going to be right. He's going to do everything to conform to that reward. He's getting something on the side. So everything in the book he will do just to conform to that reward. So you see, there's two things that will block your vision. Intelligent or not intelligent. Learned or not learned, right? Pious or not pious. Temper or temptation, right? But then what do you do? How do you sort this out? There must be a way to sort this out, because Allah Pak designed the world such that there is no crisis, there is no problem, but there is a solution. Hungry, food. Thirsty, water. Right? You're not feeling well, there's medication. Feeling sleepy, sleep. So there isn't a problem, there isn't a crisis, but Allah Pak has created a solution for it. So now, you got a problem at hand that you need to fix yourself up before you die, right? You need to fix yourself up. So how do you get yourself cleaned and cleared from this confusion that's come and over the whole dunya today? How do you do it? So Allah put that thought in my mind. So I'm sharing it with you. I just read my namaz and the thought came straight. I said, see, in brief, the Quran Sharif has got the remedy. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. There'll be two type of situations. One is masail that are related to your external self. Namaz, roza, zakat, physical, external self, right? That you will know, to a certain limit you will know. And after that, then you look at a kitab. And after that, if you can't find the inshira and the solution, then you will refer to an alim that is knowledgeable, that is acquainted with the field. Right? That's the three steps. Right? So you will go to someone who you've got in shira. Your mind is clear, you feel confident. Fima bainaka wa bain Allah, at that point, now your responsibility absorbed. You, whatever you know, if you applied that, you refer to the kitabs. Then the person, fima bainaka, you didn't just refer to the person to appease yourself or to appease him. That's also a problem now. I'm doing it just to appease myself because I know he's a little bit considerate, you know. So you make it easy for me. So not for consideration, but liman khafa maqama rabbihi jannatan. That Umar radiallahu anhu says, wala taruhu rughan al-sa'alib. What is this tikamat? Says, أن تقوم بالأمر والنهي ولا تروغ روغان الثعالب. Don't be like a fox, sly, like, you know, looking for ways, maneuvering, etc. Standing from us. So you're standing before Allah Ta'ala, and you have got the confidence, Allah Ta'ala, this is the person I feel that knows about your deen best, so I'll refer to him. Now, your responsibility has, you absorb your responsibility at that point. So now, that's one type of things that you'll be answerable. But there'll be a second type of thing that will be unanswerable about the batin. The rules and the regulations pertaining to the batin. Because Allah Ta'ala says about riya. And what he does, يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِيَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ. So he talks against it, right? And again he says, مَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِسِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَى. Ikhlas. He talks of Hanif, right? So Riya, then you talk of Ikhlas. I ask you, what does it relate to? The Zahir or the Batin? It relates to the Batin. And then the Batin is so important, the inner side is so important, that then you hear the Hadith, If it was just a simple thing, then the hadith wouldn't have said that the first persons to be thrown in Jahannam, wealthy person would eat for sure. Mujahid would eat for sure. Learned person would eat for sure. Doesn't come in the hadith here with. So all that relates to the batin. Because you can't make out. I don't know if he's doing for sure, he's doing with ikhlas. But now to go and learn ikhlas, isn't it a duty? Because it's related to, it's a faraz, it's a duty. And you don't know that you're doing it with ikhlas or not. So, like in namaz, there is someone that specialized. So in the batin also, there's going to be someone that specialized. So you will have to refer, find out, alright, is this right or not right? So now, after you've referred to the person that you had in shirah with, now you absolved. Because that was the furthest you could reach, a human being, that was the furthest you could reach. You reached up to this point, now you absolved. Beyond that, there is no responsibility. But I tell them one additional thing. Imam Thawi Sahib Rahman says, now you're referring to one person, right, in your dini matters, then close your eyes from others now. Because isse tashweesh peda hota hai. Referring to one person in your batin matters. So after you have started referring, then now don't compare his answer with this person here and that kitab, the third and the fourth. He says, because this creates confusion. And one of the greater blockages on this path is this confusion. But he said this, and he said this, and he said this. Now, I ask you, will your mind be clear? Your mind can't be clear. So he said this, but that Muslim said this, and this one said this. And I looked at that kitab, that said this. So will your mind ever be clear? Your mind won't be clear. So whether you like it or not, then you close your eyes from others. Others, Buzurgan ad-Din, etc., whoever they are, Mashaykh, Buzurgan ad-Din, Muttaqi, etc., you will do four things. You will love them. You will respect them. Right? Where it's possible, you will make the khidmat. And if they got any things to do, you will try and help them out. Right? So these are the four duties that you have towards them. So you're not going to speak or listen anything wrong about them. Because what damages your mind is you heard something about the person, or you spoke about the person, and it damaged you. Now you can be pious, but it will damage you. As more Thami Sahib, as more Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, had passed the fatwa about Kawwe ki fillat, is a certain type of crow, that he says that is permissible. Now one great buzurg, living somewhere in Purnia somewhere, he said, aaj to kawwe ko halal kar diya, kal to cheel ko bhi halal kar denge. Today he made this halal, tomorrow that haram also will be halal. Now he said this in a day or 2 days, he sees the spirit that he had, the clarity that he had, the motivation and heat that he had, all collapsed. Now he's trying to work out, where did this happen? You know, I had a motivation, I had the drive, like Ramadan come to the drive. Now I see everything is collapsing me, there's no drive in me, there's no motivation, I can't just move. He's trying, making dua, asking, nothing happening. Eventually, one buzurg of that time says, it seems like, tune kisi hasti ki shan mein gustakhi ki. You have shown some disrespect to some great personality. He thought about it, yeah, this is the statement I made. So now the only way is to ask him for maaf. Got the maaf, everything is restored. Without the maaf, everything is collapsed. And with the maaf, everything is restored. He spoke of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam. The time is up now. I thought of continuing, inshallah, some other day now. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة في الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين